You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Getting a divorce, Mom. You can't be friends with him anymore.
Gee, Mom.
Charlie Bird.
Mom. Mom.
What?
You know, most people in my business, you're just transactions to them. I like to think of you as people.
Oh, okay, good.
You remind me of myself on my second marriage.
We're gonna do together is tell your story.
Did you dye your hair again?
No, this is me. You don't like it?
Is it shorter? I prefer it longer, but.
How are you doing? I realized I didn't ever really come along for myself. I was just feeding his aliveness.
I'll never get to really be his parent again. He needs to know that I fought for him.
It's not as simple as not being in love anymore.
Eventually, it'll be the two of you having to figure this out. Together.
If we start from a place of reasonable and they start from a place of crazy, when we settle, we'll be somewhere between reasonable and crazy.
That's the trailer for the Netflix film Marriage Story. The director is calling it a love story. It doesn't sound like a love story to me, but then again, that's only the trailer. It's a story of a couple getting a divorce. There is a child in the mix, too. I wonder if the movie deals with the divorce's effect on the child in any realistic way whatsoever. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Suzanne Venker joins us for the next few minutes to talk about that Netflix film, Marriage Story. Then we'll review the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Pastor Ted Geese will be our guest. Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis, a columnist at the Washington Examiner. She's author of several books, including The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and co-author of the new book, Women Who Win at Love. She's also written a recent column for The Federalist titled, Marriage Story is a Predictable Feminist Screed. Suzanne, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You say that the plot of the film Marriage Story is relatable for many married couples. Why?
Well, it's really more of a divorce story, and the Marriage Story title sort of, I don't know, it was an interesting choice of a title, let's put it that way, but it's really a divorce drama, and of course, many people relate to divorce, but it's more specifically to modern marriage. It revolves around two career couples being pulled in different directions, wanting different things, having one child, not three or four, meaning it's just more modern that, you know, we have fewer, people have fewer children today than they did in the past. So everything about it just sort of sets up this very modern feel of what's happening in many marriages today.
How does the couple's child figure into the story?
So that was one of the points of my article. He doesn't. I mean, he's really very, very much in the background. The story is very honed in on the feelings and needs and desires of the couple, but more specifically about, I mean, they tried to make it even-handed, I guess, in a way with the husband and the wife, but really it was the wife's, I mean, first of all, she was the one who was filing for divorce, and her feelings on the marriage were the focus. And he was just sort of being pulled along for the ride. So the focus was very much on what happened between the two of them, and the kid, Henry, just sort of is, you know, existing around them, being pulled wherever they need him to be at any particular moment. But no attention to what that's doing to him.
What do you mean that the husband was just going along for the ride?
Well, for one thing, he's the receiver of the divorce papers. He's not the one filing for divorce. That's also a very common theme because we know that 70% of divorces are initiated by the wife. So that's relatable as well. He ends up getting pulled through. They didn't end up going to court, I don't think, in the end, but they had to deal with divorce lawyers. And he clearly did not want to go in the direction she wanted to go, which was basically to move from New York to L.A. And so in the end, it's just this clear message throughout that he's not wanting this. And he's kind of wondering what the hell is happening. And then in the end, sort of acquiescing to what she wants.
Let's talk a little bit about the overall message of this film. What would you say it is in a nutshell?
So obviously there's more than one answer to that. It's subjective. For me, and maybe I'm biased because I'm so involved with this issue every day, but to me, the overall message was clearly that when women marry and take on the bulk of the child care duties, which she did, that invariably your career is going to either be derailed or have to be somehow modified, which she does, because she ultimately wanted to be a director, which her husband is, and she ends up choosing the quote-unquote lesser role, although that's arguable that it's lesser, but to be an actress on the stage so that she could accommodate what was presented as her main job, which was taking care of their child. So in the end, he's 8 years old, and she's antsy and jealous of her husband's directorship, and she wants to be a director, and she has this opportunity that she thinks will end up with that out in L.A., which is how the whole thing got started as to why she filed for divorce.
How does the film perpetuate what you call an anti-man narrative?
Because it was presented mainly when she hires this feminist divorce lawyer, who's played by Laura Dern. We see immediately that this lawyer convinces the wife that she's been victimized, essentially, throughout her marriage, and that it's her turn now. And she convinces her to think of it that way, more so than she already did, for sure, because she didn't really want it to be an ugly divorce. So the one thing it does do well that I didn't write in that piece was to show the viciousness of divorce lawyers, so I liked that part. But ultimately, the lawyer in the end has this screaming monologue at the end where she basically says that women are held up to higher standards and men can be, screw up as much as they want, nobody cares, but women have to be perfect. So it was very clear that the theme was that women are screwed in marriage, whereas men have it made.
How does the film completely misrepresent the plight of children? You said before that the child is just kind of in there as window dressing, but yeah. How does it misrepresent the plight of children when their parents divorce?
Well, like, for example, at the end, the kid is just, I mean, basically it's just no emphasis on what this is doing to the child. You know, there's no attention paid to it. There's no discussion about it. Obviously, they don't stay together in the end for his sake. And then she has a new boyfriend at the end, and the father walks in to where his wife is now living with this, I'm not necessarily living with the boyfriend, but the boyfriend was there playing with his son. And there's no emphasis on what this would be like for the child to have this new boyfriend and this father in the same room. And he's at one point sort of standing halfway between them. And you just sort of left to think this is sad, but he's just not the issue. There's no focus whatsoever on what divorce does to children.
So in a sense, it's kind of a feminist fantasy about how post-divorce is going to be for their kids.
Yes, precisely. That's a great way of putting it. He's just irrelevant. He's just a pawn. And as long as you get what you want in the end, because you deserve it, because you've been screwed, is great. It doesn't matter what happens with the family or the kid, as long as, you know, the most important thing is that you get what you deserve.
Why is divorce pushed by feminism?
I think it just goes hand in hand with the idea that women don't need men. And if you're going to empower someone, you don't want them, well, in their mind, in order to empower a woman, you don't want a man to be in the picture necessarily, at least in a marriage way, because then you ultimately will depend on him at some point in some way, and they don't want that. That kind of flies in the face of what they want, is that women need to do everything for themselves. And if you get married, that holds you back. So divorce is liberation from that. It frees you from having to inadvertently or purposefully depend on a man, which is a taboo.
Is divorce presented by feminism as a woman's only choice? I mean, reconciliation, working things out, don't seem to be in the cards on the feminist agenda.
I don't think I've ever seen a film, a modern-day film. I don't know about older films, but I've never seen a film, or at least maybe there's one out there that I don't know about, but there's no commonality of films that show how a marriage can be tried in numerous ways, but end up together after all that strife, if for no other reason than for the sake of the child's mental health and well-being and happiness, where they work it out in the end. You just don't see that. You know, it's not as dramatic, and it doesn't fit the narrative, you know, to say that you can actually stay married and have a happy family and still be a quote-unquote free woman.
I remember a film, this is when I was a much younger man in 1979, Kramer versus Kramer, with Dustin Hoffman and a very young Meryl Streep. And I do remember the most dramatic, traumatic part of this film is that camera not leaving that little boy's face when he is dealing with the death of that marriage. What are your thoughts there?
Beautiful example. Beautiful example. What a great film. I mean, great film in that, first of all, it's the exact same message. Exact same message. She ultimately feels stifled, as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, in Kramer versus Kramer. And that she, and in the worst case, it's worse because she just leaves, up and leaves. So the same message, but there was a focus very much on the child in that film. I think they did end up parting ways, right? At the end. But you couldn't even imagine that being made today. That's how far we haven't come, I would say, in getting the focus off of. At least at the very least, it showed how dramatic and life-altering this is for the child, which was really my only point in that article, that it just didn't even go there.
How would you describe a feminist view of children?
I don't think feminists have any idea what children need or even want. And then when I say feminist in a generic way, I mean talking about the leaders, not just an everyday person who refers to themselves as a feminist, because there can be feminist mothers out there who think of themselves as feminists and they're good mothers. But in terms of the leaders and what they push, if you acknowledge these irreducible needs of children, especially in the early years, but just children in general, then all of your arguments fall flat. So they can't really afford to face that truism because, well, first of all, they don't know it because they just, that's not their area of expertise. But even if they did, they wouldn't acknowledge it because it would ruin their narrative.
Is divorce a necessary feature of modern feminism?
Yes, I think so. I definitely think so. Well, here's a perfect example. When Jennifer Aniston was interviewed for one film, she said several years ago, women are realizing more and more that you don't need to fiddle with a man to have a child. That's a pretty dramatic thing to say. And only in a time when feminism has fully been inculcated into society, could you say something like that? Could you feel free, I should say, to say something like that and have no backlash to that whatsoever? Because that would never have been said 34 years ago. So that just shows how much the idea of being extricated from a male is just normal conversation, just normal thought.
Does the film Marriage Story ultimately present an anti-child narrative?
I mean, I think so. I mean, that's my takeaway, because if you're showing a divorce story, this is what they're calling a divorce drama, I don't see how you can do that without showing the biggest effect, who's harmed by that the most. Now, if they didn't have a child in this whole film, that would have been much better, actually, because then you really are just focusing on the individual. Once you throw a kid into the equation, how you can just have a divorce situation be the whole story and not focus on that part, like you said, as they did in Kramer versus Kramer, to me is very telling.
The makers of the film are calling it a love story. How do you respond to that characterization?
Well, I think that the director, Noah somebody, he said that he wanted this to be a love story in the form of a divorce, to show basically that even though you get divorced, there's still love. You know, everything's always, in Hollywood, everything's about love. It's just love. And even though their kids are there in the picture, we don't talk about the needs of children or what else goes on in marriage and family that really doesn't have anything to do with love per se, or like feelings of love for your partner, but duty and obligation and responsibility and sacrifice and all of those things, because those aren't romantic, right? But that's an impossible path to talk about divorce being a love story. It's kind of comical, actually.
Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She's a columnist at the Washington Examiner, author of several books, including The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and co-author of the new book, Women Who Win at Love. She's also written a column for The Federalist titled Marriage Story is a Predictable Feminist Screed. You can read it and purchase her books at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Suzanne, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Pastor Ted Geese joins us next. We'll be talking about the movie It's a Wonderful Life, doing a movie review of this 70-year-old film. Stay tuned.
The facts are hard to spin. Planned Parenthood's name and reputation are intertwined with abortion because it is the nation's largest abortion provider and promoter.
Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, speaking at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Despite cries that the group is under this huge funding attack and what are they going to do if all this money, tax money, is not available, and yet they brought in $1.6 billion. People associate Planned Parenthood with abortion because that's what it does. We can call it anything, but it's cold-blooded killing, the murder of unborn children. And calling it health care does not change that.
You can listen to Carol Tobias's presentation, Making the Case Against Planned Parenthood, on a recording from this year's Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you along with a recording of 15 Advent and Christmas hymns for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300. Order today at issuesetc.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com, OutdoorNativityStore.com.